Free energy now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Welcome to Free Energy Now. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. You can join us online at freeenergynow.net. See our past lineup of speakers, download some past shows, see who's coming down the pike. And today, June 23rd, 2008, we have as our guest Laurel White. She's actually an associate of ours, and she's going to be talking about a clean energy road show that she's going to be doing, launching here just in a few weeks, where she's going to be traveling across the United States, mainland America, I should say. She's in Hawaii right now, has been there for a while. We'll ask her how long in a second. And she's going to be traveling across mainland America to educate people about easy-to-implement clean energy solutions available now, many of which can actually save money and to give hope about the future by renewing or redoing some of the most promising and clean emerging technologies. Laurel, thanks for joining us.
Aloha from Maui. Been here about
Maui. My cat's from Maui.
Pardon?
I asked the cat where she's from. She says, Maui. Anyway, how long have you been there?
About a decade.
A decade, and you have a lodging of sorts where you invite people to come in for emotional healing, rejuvenation, and you've been in that field for quite some time, haven't you?
Yes, I have been cleansing people for the most part. I'm a health and a life coach and believe in detoxification of the body and the mind, and I'm now taking it to Mother Earth.
So what made you interested in the energy, as in not human emotional energy, but the tie to the actual electrical, mechanical energy?
Well, that's a very good question, Sterling, and it absolutely correlates to everything I've been doing in the health world in relationship to bodies and minds, because the answer kept coming back to the earth and what was provided by in the soils, the water. So I'm going for the answers there, and I'm finding here in the state of Hawaii a lot of the answers in the ocean. All the minerals that are left on the planet pretty much are found in the water there, and that's having profound results in the soils as well as in our bodies. So one thing led to another, and it's all about energy. So many forms, and then I found you.
I do find that once a person goes outside the box, they tend to veer outside the box on many areas. Health is a major area, for example. You know, we've been involved, when I say we, I'm talking my wife and our family, have been looking at alternative to the medical establishment for a couple of decades easily. And there are some very excellent ways to keep yourself healthy so you don't even have to go to the hospital in the first place. And then when you do have illnesses, I find a lot of very excellent natural remedies that I feel are superior in many regards to what you can find in a hospital. And it seems like the same kind of thing occurs in the energy field. That we've had this oil industrial complex that has made the world addicted to their substance, and there are some natural remedies out there that we are trying to bring to bear, the energy sources that are renewable, that don't deplete, that don't pollute, that don't that are not dangerous. And so I can see why you would be attracted to that as well in your personal journey, that you're now ready to shift gear, so to speak, and kind of broaden your horizons.
It absolutely brings it holistic. It's all related, and especially in the state of Hawaii, again, I believe because we're on a rock in the middle of the ocean, we could be an absolute showcase for how we truly could live with clean energy, clean air, clean water, And that's my mission, my goal. That's kind of what propelled me to go further in, down this road, literally. I'm on the board of the Sierra Club, or I'm a member of the Sierra Club here, and I go to the board meetings and a few other boards, and I listen in, and basically now is the time. People want real solutions, and we don't want to wait for the big powers that be, for lack of better words, to come up with an answer. Plus, we know that putting things through government and trying to vote on things takes a long time. I don't want to wait for that. And so I'm taking the bull by the horns myself, and I just decided to get a recycled vehicle that actually showed up to help educate people that there are answers now, today, in our own backyard. And funny enough, once I decided upon this venture, they started coming out of the woodwork, just showing up, the backyard scientists that I was on the lookout for. And they're showing up with their ideas, that it's as if people have been waiting for this moment to come forth and talk about this now. It's okay to talk about it. It's okay to have real answers and real solutions. So I'm hoping to uncover more and to allow, give people the information and the hope that there are actually answers today for your car, for your home, just as well as for the health of our bodies. I went to a home show this weekend, and it was interesting to me to see how many people are still working with non-renewables, and there were a smattering of more folks, including our own electrical company, giving away things to help cut down the cost of our usage. So it's starting to happen, and it's information. We need the information.
Well, let's talk about what you're going to be doing. You and I had a chat about it's been about a month now ago, and
time's flying.
A brainstorming session and kind of on the same page from beginning to end about how to roll this thing out and what can be done. There certainly is a lot of interest out there in the world, and my focus has been via the web, but I know we're missing some people via the web because not everyone's logged on and not everyone is web conversant, and you just reach a different audience when you can actually get down on the ground and hit the pavement, go to the library, give a presentation. You know, it's a different venue. It's a different energy. You're meeting people in person. You're shaking people's hand, eyeball to eyeball. It's a very personal thing, and I kind of gather from your life's work that that's what you're best at, that kind of thing.
Feels like I've been preparing for this moment for the last 51 years.
Yeah.
I'm very excited, and my life is set up in such a way that I can just walk straight into this role and easily turn everything I've been doing into real information and real answers and solutions. So I'm really excited to go out there and meet people. I just absolutely love meeting people and any walk of life. I've traveled half the world and pretty much on my own, and have been an entrepreneur for the last 20 some odd years, so it's very easy for me, and I'm most interested in the answers myself, so it's real easy for me to, and I like searching out the answers, and I'm not afraid to ask the questions, whether they're hard or not, especially if it helps the collective, which is all of us. So I'm really looking forward to this trip.
Yeah.
And I'm asking anybody to show up with whatever information or questions they've got, and not to be afraid and not hold back any longer. It's time to, what I've been saying a lot lately, it's the time of the lone wolf is over, and it's time to collaborate.
Yeah, it's nice to have someone like you that we can kind of for lack of better phraseology, put to work, so to speak, going out there, spreading the message, because the New Energy Congress that we founded 2.5 years ago has been reviewing the field of clean energy, looking for the very best technology, primarily on the cutting edge, things that are, up-and-coming technologies, but also coming across things that are available now and featuring those in our top 100 energy technologies. And one thing that is somewhat lacking in our approach is a really good presentation about what is available right now today. You can go online or order from your local store to cut down your footprint and save money. And I've come across a lot of those, you know, in doing our news and directory service and reviewing these different technologies. It's not that we don't have the information, it's just that we've not compiled it in that way yet. And having you come aboard is going to bring to our attention and our constant a reminder to us to update our pages so that we are featuring those products that are available right now. When you go to our solar page, you'll be able to see a link that, you know, here are the best solar panels you can get right now. You go to the wind page, here's the best wind turbine for industrial applications. Here's the best one for residential. And this one has a 3-year return on investment. This one has a 5-year return on investment, and it has these advantages. You go to our lighting page, and, you know, here are the products that we find the best. This one has a 10-year return on investment, but you are majorly cleaning up the planet. It's not fluorescent, so you don't have the magnesium problems. And, you know, here are some things you can do to improve the mileage on your car. Here's a little additive. You put this in your tank, and people are getting 10 to 20% improvement on their mileage using this. You know, that's probably the easiest thing. Just, you know, buy it, put it in. But here's a spark plug. You install this once, and it replaces your spark plug. It uses a capacitor inside the body. This pulse plug basically has a larger burn area, so that more fuel is consumed and doesn't go unburnt through the tank. So you're improving your mileage, improving your horsepower, decreasing emissions. It's an easy install, fairly expensive, but you're going to pay for it 3 times at least, on even if you only improve a small amount on your mileage. Some vehicles are going to be improving 40%, and so they're going to have dramatic savings and return on investment. And you can be going around telling people about this stuff. Show pictures of it. Have one there on hand that you can take a look at, feel it. Go out to your vehicle and see it installed in your car. You see your natural gas tank that you're filling up for 58 cents a gallon, and it cost you $8,000 to install it. This is how long it took. This is what you went through to do it. You're right there. It's your living, breathing, walking, talking this stuff, and people can see it, touch it, feel it. Go home and get one.
Great stuff, and that's why this van is perfect, because it's going to be installed with every gosh darn last technology I can find. And I've been joking lately that it'll look like I start on the West Coast, Vancouver, head across the northern states for the basically summer-fall time. So please call me up, email me, let me know what city I should come and visit. But by the time I get to the East Coast, I reckon it'll look like the cross between the Jetsons and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Floating just off the ground, and I'm making money by driving my clean energy-powered vehicle, not actually spending money to get it going, to move it forward. So I'm a bit of an idealist. Nothing wrong with having a great picture in my mind to keep me moving, propelling me forward.
Well, there really is it. I mean, the whole model of doing a roadshow like this, I think, can easily be self-sustaining. I think the main issue you'll have is not getting cocky, because all the money you'll be making from, you know, telling people about these products, and you'll be getting a piece of the action. We're going to make sure that, you know, you get a good commission on these different products. And not like all the products that you're selling are going to be things you're going to be, you know, scratch my back, scratch your back type of thing. Some things you'll just be telling them about because they're good, and they'll be going out and getting those, and you don't see anything for it other than just a good, happy feeling. But also, you know, you can have a little donation box as people are walking in the room, you know, $5 suggested donation. They don't have to pay if they can or if they don't want to. Cover the venue expenses. And so, really, I think one of the things that we're anticipating that will come out of this will be that, you know, this isn't going to be the last time something like this happens. You could see this, you know, other people picking up the baton and kind of branching off with what you're doing.
Absolutely. I just practiced a little last night with a gathering that was a follow-up from a conference that was here in Hawaii a couple weeks ago about a number of issues that touch on a lot of this, things that matter to everyone. And what was formed from that was the synergy and the collaboration felt good to people, that they want to come together and talk about the answers and work on the solutions together. It makes it easier. It's not as much effort, and combining resources really comes up with some real answers. And they really liked the, it was the first time we were doing it. It was a kind of a prototype, and it's definitely moving forward. We already have dates to meet again, and the group is forming. So I'm hoping, well, I trust and see that people will be doing exactly that after we hit town and let them know and install a lot of these energy alternatives, that they'll just keep it going. I think it's a natural process.
Yeah, that's one thing that we've not addressed until you bring this up right now, and that's a very excellent point. Something that we envision for this is not just that, you know, you're going to go and give a one-time presentation, people go home and, you know, implement your suggestions. They, you know, you want to be planting a seed like Johnny Appleseed and actually have people start meeting regularly, whether it's once a month or a couple times a month, for kind of a local support group to get together, share ideas, bring in new inventors from the local area, brainstorm certain things. I know of a couple of groups like that. Robert Pritchett up in Washington is doing a monthly meeting. I was able to attend one about a month ago. It was just fascinating. They had three guys. It wasn't just one presenter. There were three presenters. Each one of them easily could have been worth the trip. You know, if that's all that happened that night, it would have been well worth it. It actually kind of went long. I think it was about 2 or 3 hours in all. One guy was talking about a loop, a thing you add to your oil that makes it just go like crazy, so that it super has super lubricity. And they told a story about a guy who was put the stuff in his in the car, and they took it to a mechanic to work on it. And the mechanic forgot to put the oil cap back on, the oil plug on the bottom. It was distracted. He got a phone call or something like that. And they drove home 15 minutes, and the thing was still running just fine because of this oil additive they had in there that basically adheres to the surface, doesn't really leave, and has these amazing lubricity. I mean, he had a demonstration there. He had a little motor that turned this little wheel, and he had a lever on it to put pressure on, you know, 1 pound, 2 pounds, 3 pounds pressure on this little lever, and showed you how much without and with the oil, and the difference in using regular oil versus having this in the oil. And, you know, it was a hands-on demonstration. And then he had a blind guy talking about this magnet motor that he's making. And the guy actually recently, like a day before, had gone to the hospital. He'd whacked off the tip of his finger in a machine. The second accident he's had in all these years of having a machine shop in the back of his house. He does professional work doing machining in his back laboratory. Anyway, he's talking about his magnet motor. Really fascinating idea. I got some video footage of it. I'll be putting it up on our site here once I get time to compile that and get it prepared. Another guy was from a power company there locally, actually a nuclear power facility where they prepare the rods for nuclear power plants. And he was talking about how all the waste that happens in the facility, where people are using gloves and hats and smocks and stuff to when they're working with this stuff, and they can't throw that stuff away because it's got radioactive particles on it. So they get about a huge room full every year of discard stuff. And his task is to take that and clean it up in a cost-effective manner. And he was talking about how he does that. It was fascinating. That was just one night, and they do that every week. I mean, every month. Another one I know of, we've actually had her on the show here, is Jean Manning up in Vancouver, which is where you're going to be heading right off the bat here. Mm-hmm. She's been doing a weekly or a monthly meeting for a while, and a similar type of thing. People get together and share their ideas, and so I think it's a really fun model. You know, get people together, taking notes, sharing business plan or business cards, and it's basically bolstering one another on a local level on a continuous basis.
It's just, you know, if it isn't fun, what are we doing it for anyway? What are we here for? I don't profess to know science like a lot of the people I know I'm going to be meeting and those who you bring on board with their technologies. However, I plan on getting a quick PhD in it on the road. But I seem to have a gift in finding the people that need other people And so what I'll be probably doing a lot of as well in these community meetings is bringing the people out of the woodwork that have these fascinating things that they've been working on and having them share it from their science-minded point of view. So I don't have to try to explain. I'm more of a go-between between the layperson and the scientist. And I can speak it well enough in order to hopefully get my point across, but then I absolutely get handed over to the professionals. And that's what I'll also be seeking out in each town, city, place that I go, are those people who are passionate about this and can explain and can offer this information, the real science behind it, to the people in their own communities so that they're in charge, or at least there's some people that can explain it after I leave. I also wanted to mention, when we do get together and offer these solutions, I'm also passionate about the kids and the youth and their fresh ideas and their fresh minds and the synergy that comes of bringing them in on something like this, where hopefully we can spark them by giving them lots of information of what we're doing today, what we're showing up with, what alternatives we are creating, and get them holding hands with some of these folks that are creating these technologies and inventions and energy-saving devices, just kind of like what I found this weekend at the home show. Just retrofitting a hot water heater would be the number one thing I would put at the top of the list across America for anyone who's using up oil just to heat up water that sits there and is just in waiting for the next shower or next time that someone turns on the tap. Kids are real creative still before we get older. That's what I'm hoping to instill and to inspire as well.
Art, do you have a name for the, there's like a forum or something like that you're going to be pulling these people into, the youth?
Yes, I would like to call it the Green Roundtable.
The Green Roundtable, and this won't be necessarily anyone can join type thing. You're going to do some vetting so that people kind of have to prove themselves and the admittance there, you know, say, you know, 100 people want to be in, one person gets in. Not that it wants to be, you know, some uppity, snobby type of thing, but just so that there's an honor factor in getting in and people know that they're, you know, spending time with people who are really serious on the subject and can rub shoulders with people from around the country who have a similar interest. So I think it's a great idea to get some of the cream of the crop and the youth to be able to mix and mingle together, both online as well as in person, as they have these local groups and meetups.
Yeah, and then they're going to be able to do this in each city that I leave and hopefully have created this. The kids can then meet with like-minded souls who are working on the same subjects, whether it's fuel-saving devices or energy-saving in your homes, across America via Skype and YouTube. I mean, we have the technology today to be in collaboration, and it doesn't matter where you live, even if you're in the middle of Pakistan. I mean, we've got a guy who wrote some software that just showed up in the last couple of weeks. He's sitting in Pakistan for our new ecovan.org website.
That's certainly a wonderful irony, where presently in the West we tend to look at that part of the world as being our enemy, and here is somebody from Pakistan helping us out in this grassroots effort to break our dependence on oil.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah, it's
the
wonderful.
The other thing I wanted to mention regarding the Green Roundtable, what I'd like to see is the creative, are the creative answers from a so-called essay contest for, and that'll be uploaded online for each upcoming city. This is kind of my idea at the moment, as just birthing it now, so that the kids can mention, maybe answer a question such as, what do you see as being the most effective energy alternative solution that you see in your own town, your own community, your own neighborhood? And then maybe offer some suggestions as to, well, what do you see would make this even better, or what can your own people in your own neighborhood do to assist or create something that helps in this way. The other aspect, and so whoever, I don't know, depending on how many people actually write in with answers, we would be able to choose maybe the top five or something. And the other aspect of that is I've always been a proponent of the kids who can't quite afford financially to do things, to have things, that the ones who can, there's going to be a sponsorship aspect where they can help out the ones who don't. And one more aspect to that round table that the kids get to join in, hopefully sitting with a hero, a local hero, whether it's a sports hero. There's numerous people in each town and city that I know we could probably invite to join us at this table to help spark the synergy and the collaboration that I'd like to see.
One of the things that as you go around and these different groups spring up, it'd be good to have, and I'm sure this is not something you haven't thought of, but have an index page of the various locations, have it searchable by location, searchable by a number of different parameters. You can have a little map with little flags on it where people could click and see what's local and see where they can tune in, as well as have kind of a YouTube type of a channel where people can go and see the latest video clips that have been uploaded from the brilliant inventors who make presentations in some of these local communities. And they're user-rated, so the best ones, you know, go end up at the top and see what's latest, see what's the most popular so far, and kind of have this online community aspect as well.
That's a great idea, and I'm CCing that to our brilliant programmer, web designer in Australia, Richard Newcomb, Global Business Solutions, who just showed up and did all this for free, and whatever we need, whenever there's a suggestion like that, it goes in.
You know, when Google, or when Yahoo and Google, they're together, of course, when your video hits like a million or somewhere in that ballpark, you actually start doing revenue sharing with them on the ads that they're showing up on, that they post in conjunction with the video. I was looking at I don't know if you've seen that Mean Kitty video where a guy does this little song that he wrote about his kitty Sparta. I saw it, a few months ago. I went again today with my kids, and that thing's had 10 million visits on it.
Huh.
And as it popped up, this little ad showed up at the bottom. And, you know, so as this stuff goes viral, it can also have some self-sustaining aspects that way as well. And, you know, I went to the Mr. Bean is a really favorite cartoon for my kids. They love to go to Mr. Bean and watch Mr. Bean. And they actually now have a user group on YouTube for Mr. Bean cartoons.
Hmm.
And you can go to that page and see all the latest videos. And it's basically a collection of the best of Mr. Bean. And so, you know, there could be a best of this road show or this green road show or whatever, you know, you want to call it. And people would go there, and these weekly groups that are being held, they would have, you know, some of the best videos posted there.
And then what would be really fun is also the best of the what the kids come up with, their little inventions, and who knows what they might come up with. And then they can upload that stuff now themselves and add to that part of the page. I think it's brilliant. Looking forward to it.
One of the things we've not talked about yet that is going to be part of this project is a donation capability where people can go and make a donation towards some of these up-and-coming technologies that are not far enough developed to interest the venture capitalists who want to see a working model and want to see, you know, advanced prototypes and something that's just about ready to go to market. Then they'll jump in after all the kinks have been worked out. Well, you know, in the early stages of research and development is really when people need, you know, a few bucks to buy this and get that part and buy this little machine that they need to make their little system work. And you envision a green fund of some kind where people can make donations that would then be used, it would be dispersed to some of the more promising. The New Energy Congress would be able to help you in making the determination as to which technologies are worth supporting. And there may be a way to kind of make a so the really good technology doesn't get overlooked, because sometimes people with degrees and backgrounds and experience tend to have closed minds about new ideas, and they don't see the really brilliant idea that's coming along. They just dismiss it as being bad science or a bad idea. And there could be a way to have kind of a check and balance thing where, if there's enough grassroots support and interest in a certain idea, then that would also bring it to the table for receiving some startup funding and in the form of a donation with no strings attached. Basically, you know, here's some money to work on your idea. Good luck.
Great, and we can donate, or we can, you know, maybe lend. You know, there's many ways, and the donations are the donate button is now working on ecovan.org, and we're all set up with everything to get going. And now the only thing left that we need to get going is the actual purchase of the van. We've put a deposit on it. So we're looking for $10,000 for the next 2 weeks, and then we're up and running, and then the rest will just be, as you said, self-sustaining, coming in from who knows where. And I do see the entrepreneurs of the world really, those folks really helping us out initially the most, because they can, and they are usually the ones who tend to think outside the box and can see a little bit of the eagle perspective of what's happening here and what we're creating, and which also means that we'll get those answers and solutions into their hands sooner than later.
Yeah, one of the things that I think is really synergistic about your roadshow and what we're already doing at the New Energy Congress in vetting these different great technologies that are out there is, on the one hand, we can kind of make recommendations to you as to what technologies to mention and to promote and to talk up to people as you go around, things that are available now, give them hope about some things that are coming down the pike, so they can see that, you know, in 2 years from now they're going to have solar that will be competing with their local coal fire plants. They'll be able to buy electricity from their own solar panel as cheap as what they can get from the grid. And that kind of stuff is coming down, and when people can see the name of the company and how the technology works, and that they just received $50 million in venture funding, and that they're just about to install their first commercial plant over in Southern California. Mm-hmm. They really, you know, there's a lot of sadness and depression in the country right now as things are falling apart economically. And I think this kind of a positive, upbeat message can help reverse that, so that people don't go into a meltdown mode emotionally. They can realize that there is hope, and that we don't have to hit the wall completely. We don't have to crash in order to wake up.
That's what I've been doing most of my life as my job. And so now we're just taking it to a bigger arena. And there's definitely lots of hope out there. It just depends on the perspective of what we focus on. So I'm just going to be a little green reminder dropping into each city that there are solutions now, and the more we invest our time and energy and money in these types of solutions, we're not putting our money back into the old paradigm of what has gotten too costly for us today and is not looking good for the future. So the more we buy outside of that paradigm, the more we take our lives back into our own hands, we can see and feel the hope for a better future.
As you, one thing I like to bring up frequently is picture in your mind two curves on a graph. The bottom line represents time. The left line going up and down represents the price. And the price of fuel as you go from left to right is going up, 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 and even climbing logarithmically recently, where the price of fuel is getting out of hand. Meanwhile, the price of renewables is a second curve you look at, and it started high, you know, renewable energy, solar, wind, it was very expensive. It was so expensive that you wouldn't even get a return on investment. Basically, the reason you got solar is because you're off grid and you like the independence. You know, it's not because you're saving money, because it was more money than what you would pay for the local grid for electricity, even 20, 30 years down the road. There was just never a payback time. And now the price is dropping, while fossil-based fuels are increasing and going up and up and up. We live in that time when those two curves are intersecting, where renewables are starting to get at the same price point as fossil fuels. And there are some renewables that are actually starting to get cheaper than what you can get from the grid. And so you know, to go out and talk to people and to share this message and to point out some of the things that they can get right now that are pushing that envelope, you know, this wind turbine, for example, that has a 3-year return on investment, that's pretty amazing. This Southwest Wind Power turbine, they make several variations for residential use. And if you got a fair amount of wind in your area, pay for the 3 years, and then you're getting free energy after that. 3-kilowatt system for home power, that's a pretty good deal.
And free energy, exactly. If we can just try to think past the present day, putting $10,000 down for a solar system today may cost a bit, but down the road we could even make money back by putting it on the grid and having other people buy from us. I mean, that's the way that we really need to go. And in Hawaii, it's happening a lot because half of the state, or at least Maui anyway, there's a big portion of it that's off the grid. And when I lived off the grid at the end of a dirt road, that was all we had. And we learned very quickly. You cannot run all your appliances at once. And it's a very shared thing. And then you recognize, I mean, the people that I lived with installed this system. It said they said it broke their bank, but they're still fine. They're living now energy free from the sun by having invested in that probably 3-4 years ago.
I bet they're feeling really good about that right now.
Right about now, they've always talked about, I can see the future a little bit, and we're feeling very secure here. They're growing their own food. There's water catchment and spring water. So that's ideal.
Yeah. You know, another thing that a product that is a really easy, simple solution for water usage. We installed this on our home when we first moved to this home that we've been at for about 3 years, is we just replaced the nozzle on our shower head with one of these things you can turn on and off, and it basically kind of turns it into a mist of sorts. It sprays. It still feels like a high-pressure shower head, but the way it's designed, you can actually turn the volume up and down with this little knob. You can turn it. I turn it off when I'm, you know, when I'm lathering up, and then when I'm ready to rinse off, I turn it back on. That's saving money. Our usage, when we got a water softener here, they gave us an estimate of how much water we would use because of the number of, you know, we've got 4 kids and my wife and myself, and this is how much water you're expecting to use. And they sized our water softener per that. It turns out we're using about a third of what a household our size would usually use, and the primary difference is that shower head.
You just have the one?
Even on full bore, it's much less than what a typical shower head has. It's about 1 inch long or less, and it's about three-quarters of an inch in diameter. Just a really small thing. I can't remember the name or manufacturer of it, but that's the kind of thing that, you know, you can tell people as you go around. Take 2-3 minutes, tell them about this, show them, tell them where they can get it locally. I found this down at Ace Hardware on aisle 3, or, you know, whatever it was.
I learned about that this weekend, actually. I just heard about it for the first time. And we could make that real fun for, you know, the kids if we're used to taking showers in a certain way. But if we can see down the road that, it's drying up, the water reserves are drying up, maybe just taking a few minutes out to turn off the water while you are lathering up, what a concept. If 6 billion people did that all at once, we'd have a whole lot of extra water hanging around.
Yeah, we would, and it's so easy. You just reach up there and push the little knob, and it turns. It does turn all the way up. It still trickles on you, and it, which is nice, especially in the winter when it's cold. I just stand there in the trickle, and the water actually gets a little hotter in that mode because when it sprays out, you get some evaporative cooling, so it's actually a little bit cooler when it hits you. But when it's just dropping on you, it gets pretty hot. And it keeps you warm. You kind of move back and forth, so the scalding part of your back while you're lathering up. And then when you're ready to rinse off, go and hit the knob and you get the full bore. And the blast of water rinse you off really nice. And it feels just like a regular shower, and yet even at full bore, it's using a lot less water than other shower heads.
And I'm sure there's numerous more little ideas and inventions that are available now that we can all incorporate like that. It kind of reminds me of the if you have 1,000 friends or even 500 friends, and each one of them give you $1, you're rich, like overnight. And so if, all of us do just these tiny little things, they add up to a huge savings and a huge amount of resources that we still have and have not used up.
And as you're going around and you're talking to these people and sharing these ideas, you're going to have some lady in the back raise her hand and say, have you heard about this? And she's going to tell you about something.
Yep.
Afterwards, exactly. And you're going to see it. And you're going to tell everyone else about it.
And I'm also inviting a few people like yourself and different places that have little radio shows and or maybe even a local TV station that would like to have on their public TV station the proceedings from these kinds of community gatherings and what information shows up.
Yeah, you can even, get some political action going on where you can have some instructions for people to go to their local city council and say, hey, were you aware that they now have a waste-to-diesel technology that if you go to our landfill and we can buy one of these things and that it makes it. And this is not hypothetical. This is a real technology, Green Power Inc. Go look at it up at PezWiki.com. We've got a feature page there. And I've seen this one on the ground twice up in Washington. Flew up there in the last month a couple times. They're putting waste stream on the front end, garbage, municipal waste, and they're converting it into high-grade diesel fuel, kerosene, and fuel oil. There's enough naphtha coming off of it that it can power generators to power itself with 1 megawatt left over, 100 ton per day facility. And tell your local chamber of commerce or your local city council, hey, did you know that there's technology out there that we could install here locally? And here's a list of a few companies you might want to consider looking at. These guys are 1 year back ordered because it's a great brand new product and they're going as fast as they can, but it might be a year before we get this thing installed. And, just give them a shopping list of things that they can bring to the governor, bring to their mayor, bring to their, local water resource board, and just get the groundswell of people saying, enough is enough. I mean, one of the things is fuel efficiency. On our website, we've probably got some 1,000 different ways to improve your gas mileage. All of them work to a certain extent, and the ones that are fishy, we say, this one looks, pretty fishy in terms of possible fraud. Watch out for these guys. But most of them are up and up. Sometimes they tend to overstate the amount of improvement you get. There's absolutely no reason in the world that our cars driving down the road should be getting the mileage that they're getting. And these are just local people. I mean, I just got back this last weekend from a pre-launch meeting in California of a product that has been for sale in Europe and Asia for a decade. These guys have been trying to introduce it to the U.S. market for the same amount of time, and it's a number one seller in Japan. And they can't get anyone to pay attention because the guy who came up with this is not a PhD. He's not a chemist. He's an engineer. And he's not supposed to know how to do this. And so it must not work. But the fact is, people are driving down the road with this stuff that increases the vaporization of the fuel, increases the catalytic properties, and more fuel is burnt and not wasted, so you get better mileage, better increased horsepower and decreased emissions. E-fuel, 2 E's, EE fuel, is the name of the product. We feature that one at PES Wiki as well. And, you know, I was listening to the inventors tell about how all the different people they went to. They went to Boeing, they went to the federal government, they went, just lists of all these big-wig organizations, federal and private, to try and get them to pay attention, and they wouldn't. And so they're going to roll it out through a multi-level marketing company. And it was just, you know, they're basically launching it right now. It's ready to go. You can buy product, start putting it in your car. I just got my first reading back after half a tank. I went from 30 miles per gallon to 36 miles per gallon in my Acura Integra.
And what is this called?
It's called E-Fuel with two E's. The company website is fuellegacy.com, and if you /PES is our entry page where you can sign up under us. We also have a page over at pezwiki.com. The shortcut URL is efuelme.com, takes you to where you can sign up. .info takes you to our PezWiki page talking about it. You know, that's something that's up and coming that, I mean, actually is here right now, just barely coming out of the box, ready to go, and billions of miles underneath it, and proving that it's safe, that it's credible, that it's benign. This is a product that industry has ignored and continues to ignore, but the grassroots kind of thing that you're doing is exactly the kind of way that this thing can really launch and get to people's awareness of what's available now, here, ready to go. And, you know, it's funny because in the Wall Street Journal a couple of weeks ago, there was an article saying basically that, well, we talked to the federal government and we talked to the automobile manufacturers and about some of these various clean energy or these fuel improvement claims, and the answer they got back was that they're really, almost all of them are bogus. They really don't work. And what it reminded me of was Richard Nixon with his fingers in a peace sign saying, I am not a crook. Because basically what's happening is by people using these products and seeing that they work, they're showing that the automobile manufacturers and the federal governments are a bunch of liars.
Yeah, I think it'll actually be just evident without even having to speak it. And people are putting their arms and hands up going, okay, we're going to take this into our own hands. And, I mean, just imagine if we built a methane plant next to every landfill, how much energy that would. And we're doing that now here on Maui. I was so pleased to find that out. That's a tremendous amount of energy conversion. Who knows how we're going to be able to use that. And I have a question, too, Sterling, about the e-fuel and then there's hydroxy and the hydrogen boosting. And can you mix a lot of these alternatives together so not only can we get 6 miles out of, say, the e-fuel, but we can get another 6 miles out of the hydrogen booster, and then if we add something else, we get another 6 miles, so we're up to 15 miles more per gallon?
Well, what's going to happen is some of the methods are going to overlap. And they're going to augment one another, but they're not going to be additive. So, for example, if you get 10% from one method and the other method alone gets 10% improvement, you put them together, you might get 15% total rather than 20%.
Great. Still a great, better solution than where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm looking to forward to learning more about myself. And then, of course, you know, I've always experimented on me first, and that's kind of what how I offer the information and education that I do. And that's what we'll be doing with this van as well, incorporating everything that we find, and people can see it in action. And I'll have a continual, probably a graph online as well, as to how the mileage is going and how I utilize my appliances on board, where that energy is coming from, how efficient it is. So it'll be a real hands-on, experiential, kind of an outdoor classroom education as well.
Let's talk about that van for a second. You tell us about the guy who's converting it, and he's done some really nice woodwork on the inside. He does conversions of yachts and stuff. So he's a high-end designer, but of course you're not paying a high-end price. This is something he was going to build for himself. He got married, had kids, so it kind of made it something so he couldn't do it, so he's kind of passing it on to you.
Yes, he is. In fact, the day that I was given his name and number, I called him, he answered right away, and he said, I was just getting the camera out to take pictures of it because I have to sell it because we got a baby on the way, which, by the way, was birthed during our first big conference.
Yeah, he was in labor in our conference call and said, excuse me, I got to go. And, yeah.
Yeah, there's a coincidence there or not, I'm not sure. But this, it's a Chevy, 74 Chevy step van that was, it's an Air Force-based used vehicle. So I love the fact that it's recycled in the first place. And he found it in a very bad mechanical condition and, of course, just went in and replaced almost everything. And he's a engineer and a diesel mechanic and a boat builder. So being around a lot of yacht yards, he's picked up some pieces from this, that, and the other that he's incorporated into this vehicle, such as I think there's some old piece of mahogany that's a couple hundred years old, and his mindset is very much, let me go find what is already out there and incorporate it into this thing. So it's all recycled, all the parts and pieces, and if he had to, which he'd try not to do, is to go buy something new. And I kind of call him the Mr. MacGyver. I see a lot more of those MacGyver types. And you can tell what era I came from. Anyway, he will make up something just to not have to go buy something new so that we can stop putting things into our landfills. And pretty much that's where it came from in the first place. Someone had to build it. So he's gone and built stuff from scratch to incorporate into this vehicle. I mean, there's even a wood-burning stove inside because he wanted to go snowboarding in the winter and up in the mountains and have his nice little cozy home. And so we've been talking about the alternatives and ways to, for me, the way I live my life, I need certain appliances for my nutritional to make it easy and accessible and fast, which is, I do a lot of sprouting, and I use my high-end commercial blender for a lot of things. And so we've been talking about how to convert that energy, and I'm actually hoping that the thin film solar is going to come on board real soon, because I can just see the whole top of this van, which is very square, it's like a box, just covered with solar on top. I mean, what a beautiful usage for it. As I drive, I'm creating energy, and I'm able to store it, and we're in some tanks. I mean, it has so much space that we can add a lot of things. For instance, we're putting in a natural gas tank as well on top of the current gasoline engine that it has. And as you know, we discussed the possibility of converting it to a diesel gas or a diesel tank, but because of the not-so-clean elements that are derived from utilizing diesel, we've canned that idea. So, again, it's also very much a showcase in how to create from nothing without spending a lot of money. The vehicle, it's $7,000 plus the changes that we need to make, bring it up to about $10,000. And, you know, I don't have to go buy a new car for $15,000-$20,000, which I see a lot of people doing, new cars to get better mileage. This we're just recycling and reusing and taking out some stuff and putting in other things. So we're actually spending less money in doing so.
Now, that van's not pretty to look at. What you ought to do is have a contest among your readership to come up with some really cool ways to put some really neat artwork on that thing.
What a great idea. Well, he's done that on the inside, and he's kept it kind of nondescript on the outside, so it doesn't draw a whole lot of attention when he was pulling into town. However, that's just the opposite of what we want to do now, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, want to make a statement everywhere you go.
Yeah, what a great idea. Well, that'll be on the website by tomorrow. The contest for the creative ways for that van to look.
Yep.
For starters, it was going to have a fresh paint job of all green.
Yeah, bright green, fluorescent. Well, Laurel, it's been fun talking to you about this. Our time has come to a close. We've been talking with Laurel White, who is going to be hitting the road for a year. And then getting back onto the next chapter of her life while, you know, five or six other people take this idea and run with it. And it'll be interesting to see what this stirs up in a year's time. It'll be a very different world a year from now in a lot of good and bad ways. And, of course, we're focusing on the solutions, and so we'll be part of the better world that's coming, hopefully. And, again, ecovan.org is her website where you can go to see the latest, greatest. And, again, thanks for coming on, Laurel.
Thank you very much, Sterling, and thank you. There's a good reason why you were inducted into the Energy Hall of Fame, because you're pulling this information together and making it accessible to people. Thank you.
Thank you.
Aloha.
You've been listening to Free Energy Now, brought to you by PES, Pure Energy Systems. You may access past archives and upcoming show info at freeenergynow.net and join us for our daily news at freeenergynews.com. We invite you to see our directory of energy technologies at peswiki.com. That's peswiki.com. PES, the Pure Energy Systems Information Network.